Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, presents... Milky Way candy bars welcome you to Curtain Time. Brightly colored spring dresses dot the lobby tonight as an eager throng hurries inside the theater for the new play. And here, as always at an opening night, is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Mr. Allen, there's a rumor that we have lots of legal angles tonight.
That's right, John. But there's the overture, so we'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time. Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Seventh row center. Seats 7 and 8.
Thank you.
Well, now, the lights will be dimmed in a moment, so let's glance through the program. Harry Elders and Nana Sargent, supported by the Milky Way players, star tonight in Mr. Justice Jimmy. Mr. Elders plays the part of Jimmy McDermott, and Miss Sargent is heard as Joan Rawlinson.
Curtain time!
There's the call for the first act of Mr. Justice Jimmy. It's a summer afternoon in the small town of Pleasantville. In front of the post office, idle young men stand around talking. But their conversation dies down as a smart new station wagon pulls up to the curb. The door opens. A very attractive young lady steps out, walks across the sidewalk, and starts up the post office steps.
Just a minute there, young lady.
Oh, I beg your pardon, officer?
Where do you think you're going?
Why, into the post office, of course. I want to mail this letter.
In that rig?
Rig?
Well, okay. I mean in them...
Are you referring to the shorts I'm wearing?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what's wrong with them? I'm on my way to play tennis.
You just can't do it, miss.
I can't play tennis.
You can't go around wearing them things. It's against the law.
It's against the law to wear shorts?
Within the corporate limits of Pleasantville, it is.
Well, of all things.
Gotta give you a summons, miss. Now, if I can just find my pencil.
Now, really, officer, this is absurd. I'm merely trying to mail a letter.
Uh-huh.
I'll be out of the post office in half a second and back in my car, and here, you can mail my letter for me.
Sorry, young lady, but I gotta give you a summons.
Oh, but officer...
It's the law, miss. What's more, Judge Hurley's been riding the department for not enforcing it.
But it's ridiculous.
Maybe so, but the judge says you out-of-town people are making a mockery of the good name of our fair city. Them's his very words.
Oh, all right, give me your summons.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'll pay your silly old fine and get it over with. Honestly, a person can't even feel free to mail a letter in this stupid old town.
Your name, ma'am?
Joan Rawlinson.
Uh-huh. And where do you live?
Laurel Hill.
Laurel Hill.
Pardon me, miss, but may I be of assistance?
No, thank you.
But Officer Smiggs is writing out a summons for you.
I'm well aware of that.
Smiggs?
Oh, howdy, Jimmy. What's on your mind?
What's the charge against the young lady?
Indecent exposure.
Indecent exposure?
Come, Smiggs, I'd say this is very decent exposure. It's enough to make Betty Grable jealous.
Will you please mind your own business?
Oh, but I am. You see, I'm a lawyer.
Oh, you are?
That's what his diploma says.
Then tell me, can this officer give me a summons for wearing shorts?
He's doing it, isn't he?
Well, what I mean, is he within his rights?
Look, young lady, you're on the post office steps exposing your limbs and, well...
That's what the fashion magazines call her midriff, Smiggs.
Well, anyway, it's a violation of Municipal Ordinance number 269, and here's your summons, miss.
Now what do I do?
You appear in Municipal Court, Judge Hobart T. Hurley presiding, Monday morning at 10 a.m.
But that's impossible. I'm going back to the city Sunday night, and I have a fitting at my dressmaker's the first thing Monday.
Well, I guess it'll have to wait.
Well, it's my trousseau. I'm being married a week from Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Officer, I have a good mind to tell you who I'm marrying.
You mean whom you're marrying?
Will you please keep quiet? Officer, I'm going to marry Ralph Henneberry.
Well, now, the D.A.
Yes. And when Mr. Henneberry hears of this ridiculous matter, officer...
Look, ma'am, are you threatening me?
No, Smiggs. She's merely telling me. There, I saved you from being charged with intimidating an officer.
I was not intimidating him. And I wish you'd mind your own business.
But I tell you, I'm a lawyer.
And I don't need a lawyer. Mr. Henneberry handles all my legal affairs.
Well, he can't handle this.
Why not?
Because he's the prosecuting attorney.
you don't mean that Ralph will prosecute me.
Well, he'll probably have one of his assistants handle the case, but...
Why, this is ridiculous. I've a good mind to tear this summons up.
Don't know.
Don't do that, man.
Well, very well, I'll appear in your stupid old court. But believe me, somebody's going to wish this had never happened.
But, Miss Rawlinson, you forgot to mail your letter.
It doesn't matter. It's a contribution to the Society for Better Law Enforcement, and they can go hang.
Well, Miss Rawlinson, fancy meeting you here.
Yes, it is odd, isn't it, that you should pop up in the courthouse on the day of my trial.
Miss Rawlinson, my card. I'm James McDermott, attorney at law.
I don't need a lawyer, and I wish you'd stop following me, you...
Ambulance chaser?
Mr. McDermott, on the advice of one of the best lawyers in the community...
Ralph Henneberry?
Yes. Mr. Henneberry informs me that the easiest way for me to clear up this entire stupid situation is to plead guilty.
But you'll be fined.
Exactly $5.
Well, but...
Will you please let me by? I don't want to be late.
But, Miss Rawlinson, it's more than a fine. Think of the principle of the thing.
Mr. McDermott, suppose I just let you think of that.
Alfred Dillfeather, sent to this court $10 and 30 days in the county jail. Jail sentence suspended. Pay the fine to clerk. Next case, the People versus Joan Rawlinson. Defendant here.
That's you.
I know it is. I'm the defendant, Your Honor.
All right, young lady, step up to the bench.
See, you're a babe in the woods.
Joan Rawlinson, you're charged with violating Municipal Ordinance Number 269, which makes it unlawful for persons over 15 years of age to appear on the streets of this municipality in clothes other than customary street attire. Are you pleased? Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Why?
He your lawyer, miss?
Well, he certainly is.
That's right, Your Honor. My client pleads not guilty.
On what grounds?
Yes, on what grounds?
On the grounds, Your Honor, that no young woman as beautiful as my client could possibly be guilty of indecent exposure.
Well, thank you, but...
Well, I got to admit the defendant's right smart-looking, but...
Your Honor, perhaps if my client were to show the court...
Sorry. I'll have the attorney for the defense know that I'm a married man. My wife found out if she... If you... is the arresting officer in the courtroom. Oh, all right. Tell the court what happened, Smiggs.
Well, it's a pure and simple violation of Municipal Ordinance Number 269, Your Honor. I seen the defendant going into the post office, and she was wearing them, them little pants some of the city folks wear to play tennis in.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty darn skimpy, Your Honor.
Uh-huh. Well, now, just how far did they...
only come down to about here, Your Honor.
I see. Is that right, Miss Rawlinson?
Yes, Your Honor, except that they came down to here.
Sorry, young lady, that's not far enough. Court finds you guilty.
But if the court please, you can't do that, Your Honor. You haven't heard the defendant's side of the story.
She admitted she exposed herself, didn't she?
Yes, but not indecently.
That's for the court to decide. Now, the regular sentence for indecent exposure is a $100 fine and 30 days in jail.
$100?
But this being the first offense, the fine is $5, or...
I have the money right here.
Your Honor, we refuse to pay this fine.
Then it's 10 days in jail.
10 days in jail?
We'll go to jail before we...
We will not!
But, Joan, if you pay the fine, you're admitting you're guilty.
Well, I don't care.
Your Honor, I wish to file an appeal.
File an appeal?
Yes, Your Honor. If necessary, we'll carry this case to the highest court in the land.
Now, you see here...
My client and I, Your Honor, insist on standing on our constitutional rights. We stand for freedom of dress.
The curtain falls on the first act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Anna Sargent with the Milky Way Player. And now, John Weigel. These days, Easter vacations are in the air for school children. Days of fun and relaxation in the warm spring air. And during an afternoon's play, children will stop often to enjoy the delightful taste of a Milky Way candy bar. For a Milky Way is one of those little treats that the whole family can enjoy, children and adults alike. In every bite, you taste a rare flavor combination, a thick milk chocolate coating of the finest pure milk chocolate, a golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel, and a soft chocolate nougat center, richly flavored with real malted milk. Together, the milk chocolate, creamy caramel, and soft nougat make every bite of a Milky Way a thrilling treat, right down to the last delightful flavor that lingers in your mouth. When you crave good candy, eat a Milky Way.
The call for the second act of Mr. Justice Jimmy, brought to you by the Milky Way Players. When Jimmy McDermott, a young lawyer, tried to defend Joan Rawlinson against a charge of indecent exposure because she appeared on the streets of Pleasantville in shorts, he only managed to get her into deeper trouble. Well, it's now the evening of the day Joan appeared in court. Her fiancé, Ralph Hanoveri, is calling at the place where Joan is staying.
Oh, Ralph, I'm so glad you've come.
Yes, of course. But, Joan, about this thing in Judge Hurley's court.
Ralph, it's positively ridiculous.
But, dear, why didn't you pay the fine as I told you? It was only $5, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, then why didn't you pay it?
I wanted to, Ralph, but that lawyer.
What lawyer?
Oh, that ambulance chaser, James McDermott.
Oh, McDermott, the legal eagle. How did he get mixed up in this?
By insisting that we stand on our constitutional rights.
Well, did you retain him?
I did not.
Well, didn't you tell the court he wasn't your attorney?
I never had a chance to.
And Judge Hurley accepted him as your counsel?
Well, I guess he did.
Well, the appeal's been granted, and now I've got to take over the prosecution. Really, you know, it's ridiculous.
That's what I've been saying, and... Ralph, why is it ridiculous?
Well, you violated the ordinance. You're guilty.
Do you think I'm guilty?
Joan, you should know better than to run around the streets half-dressed.
But I wasn't running around the streets half-dressed.
You must have been, Joan. You were found guilty of indecent exposure.
Ralph, you've seen what I wear when I play tennis.
Yes.
Is it indecent?
Well, no, not on the tennis court. But going around that way in public, Joan...
Well, it's good you found out in time, isn't it?
Found out what?
That the woman you're engaged to marry is indecent.
Oh, Joan, I didn't say that.
You did, too. And even if you didn't, you thought it. And that's still worse. At least Jimmy McDermott...
Oh, I see. It's Jimmy.
At least he had the courage to stand up in court and insist that I couldn't possibly be guilty of indecent exposure.
But you were, Joan, in the eyes of the law.
And also in your eyes, Ralph?
Look, darling, why don't you consider me a little? After all, I'm a public official. Anything you do reflects on me.
Very well, Mr. District Attorney. From now on, nothing I do will reflect on you.
Oh, but Joan...
Here's your ring. Suppose you reflect on that.
Oh, darling, I...
And the next time you see me, I'll be with Jimmy McDermott, standing on my constitutional rights.
Are you ready to proceed for the state, Mr. Hanoveri?
Yes, Your Honor. In appealing the case of the people versus Joan Rawlinson, the attorney for the defense insists upon dragging the Constitution into what is, after all, a mere infraction of an insignificant municipal order.
Just a moment, Mr. Hanoveri.
Your Honor.
No legal action, however minor, is insignificant if the consequences of it tend, even in the smallest degree, to reduce the rights of an American citizen. Proceed.
Yes, of course, Your Honor, but well, the question to be decided, and I'm sure that any lawyer, providing he isn't interested merely in the newspaper notoriety this case is getting, will agree, is not what constitutes customary street attire, but rather what constitutes indecent exposure. The question is, are we to permit persons to parade half-naked through the streets of our city? Are men and women to be allowed to wander aimlessly about displaying their anatomy? Your Honor, I can hear the voices of the American people as they rise up in righteous indignation and shout no. It is true, the Constitution may not forbid this wholesale display of the human body, but common decency does.
Mr. McDermott, this court is ready to hear from counsel for the defense.
Your Honor, the question I wish to put to this learned court is this. What constitutes customary street attire? And who is to decide? Your Honor, if this ordinance is held constitutional, such an act will deprive the American citizen of one of his most cherished rights, the right to dress as he pleases without fear of prosecution. And again I ask, what is customary attire? Does it mean that we must all wear uniforms? Are we to be regimented like mere puppets? Or are we to continue as a nation of free people? Your Honor, I implore this court to uphold the American right of freedom of dress.
In the case of the people versus Joan Rawlinson, the conviction of the lower court is upheld.
But, Jimmy, we can't take it to a higher court.
But, Joan, why can't we?
Because there's so much legal red tape and everything, it'll take years.
Okay, we're not so old.
But how do we know the next higher court won't do the same thing the last court did?
Look, Joan.
Jimmy, I've been convicted. We appealed the case, and the higher court agreed with the lower court. Now, if I just pay the fine...
No, Joan, no. This case is going to be a landmark in constitutional history.
But I don't want...
Think of the famous Dartmouth College case. Daniel Webster argued it through every court in the country, and it started from a little church squabble.
Well, I know,
then
but...
there's the famous Schechter case, which upset the NRA. That started over a crate of sick chickens.
Yes, Jimmy, but...
Joan, this thing is bigger than we are. You become a symbol.
Oh, sure.
All believers in true democracy are rallying around you. Joan, we're appealing this case to the Supreme Court of this state.
In the case of the People versus Joan Rollinson, the Supreme Court of this state holds that the conviction of the lower court be upheld.
So, boy, I knew they'd do it.
Oh, but Jimmy, we lost.
Which is just what I wanted.
Just what you wanted?
Joan, this is our big chance. We'll take this case to the United States Supreme Court, the watchdog of the Constitution.
But think of the money it will cost.
This is a cause, Joan, that means more than money.
Well, maybe, but...
Besides... I'll be arguing a case before the Supreme Court. So I can see it now. Chief Justice Vinci, Mr. Justice Frankfurter, Mr. Justice...
Now, see here, what about me? What am I? Just another crate of sick chickens?
No, darling. You're the most wonderful girl in the world, and I want to marry you.
Then, this is a proposal?
I'm not selling magazine subscriptions.
But, Jimmy, I hardly know you.
Joan, darling, won't you marry me? Please. On condition, that is, that...
On condition? What do you mean?
I'm asking you to marry me on the condition that I win this case before the Supreme Court in Washington. You see, honey, if I do, my name will go down in history.
It will?
Yes. And then I'll be worthy of you, sweetheart. Say yes, won't you please?
To marrying you, Jimmy?
No, honey. Just say that you'll take your shorts to Washington.
Before we bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Anna Sargent with the Milky Way Players, here is John Weigel.
During the April days ahead, candy lovers of all ages will stop often to enjoy the delightful taste of a Milky Way candy bar. The moment you first open the crisp wrapper of a Milky Way, you'll know that you have a thrilling taste treat in store for you. For the thick milk chocolate coating is no ordinary chocolate, but the finest pure milk chocolate. The golden layer of caramel is unusually smooth and creamy, and the soft chocolate nougat center is richly flavored with real malted milk. Altogether, the milk chocolate, creamy caramel, and soft nougat give you that rare taste blend found only in a Milky Way. When you crave good candy, eat a Milky Way.
For the third act of Mr. Justice Jimmy, brought to you by the Milky Way Players. When Joan Rawlinson was fined for wearing shorts on the streets of Pleasantville, Jimmy McDermott insisted on appealing the case. But two courts upheld the verdict. As a result, Jimmy has appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States. The scene now is the Supreme Court in Washington. Joan and Jimmy listen while one of the justices delivers the court's opinion.
In the case of the People versus Joan Rawlinson, which questions the constitutionality of a municipal ordinance denying persons over 15 years of age the right to wear other than customary street attire on the streets of the municipality of Pleasantville.
Oh, this is it.
It is the majority opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States that the judgment of the lower court be upheld.
Oh, Jimmy, we've lost.
But, Joan, it's not right. We've been bitten by the watchdog of the Constitution. Well, we're almost back in Pleasantville.
Oh, please, Jimmy, don't take it so hard.
Oh, but Joan, I can't help it. I failed.
what you did as much as anybody could have done.
Oh, darn it, I was so sure I was right.
You were right. Besides, four justices of the Supreme Court agreed with you. What more do you want?
Five.
Oh, Jimmy, please, let's be sensible and forget the whole thing. After all, you did win something.
I won something. What?
Me. And when we're married...
We're not going to be married.
But darling...
Remember what I said? On condition? I promised you a whole lot, Joan, and I haven't delivered.
But, Jimmy, I'm proud of you just the same, and I'll be proud to marry you, too.
I'm glad you feel that way, Joan, but... Well, it's just the minority opinion.
Oh, well, Jimmy, if...
No, Joan, it wouldn't work. Hey, we're coming into Pleasantville.
Well, Jimmy, aren't you going to wait for me?
Better if I don't. But I'll see you around sometime. So long.
Joan!
Oh, why, Ralph. I haven't seen you at the club in ages.
Well, I've been pretty busy. You playing tennis?
Can't you tell? From the way I'm dressed?
Yes, of course I could.
I'm waiting for Gladys Breen.
Oh, Joan, you look as pretty as ever.
Because I'm so indecently exposed?
Oh, come on now, Joan. Can't we forget that? The whole thing was so silly.
If it was so silly, Ralph, why did you fight us through every court?
Because it was my duty.
Well, you certainly did your duty.
Yes, I guess I did. And Jim McDermott. The poor guy has been only able to hold up his head since.
I don't think that's funny, Ralph.
Oh, well.
Jimmy at least fought for what he thought was right.
Oh, sure.
And no matter what the Supreme Court said, he was right. Every American should be allowed to choose his or her own clothes.
Joan, nobody's trying to tell you what clothes to choose.
Oh, but they are, in principle.
Look, Joan, will you please take back your ring?
My ring?
Joan, if you'll marry me, you can choose your own clothes. Anything you want as often as you want.
Does that include shorts?
It does. But here it does. Here's the ring.
You mean you've got the ring with you?
Well, I've carried it with me ever since you gave it back to me, just in case. Oh, believe me, Joan, there's never been another girl that I want
hey,
to meet.
Hey, Joan.
Oh, Jimmy.
Oh, fine.
Joan, they said you were here. Come on.
Come on, where?
Yes, where? Oh, boy, you're wearing shorts, too. That's great.
Now, look, McDermott.
Oh, hello, Hanbury.
Jimmy, well, what's this all about?
Yeah, what's this all about?
You'd better come along, too, Hanbury. And you'd better bring all your law books with you.
Oh, but, Jimmy, where are we going?
We're going places, sweetheart. And the first place is the post office. All right, Joan. Go up the steps and mail the letter, just the way you did the first time.
But, Jimmy, I haven't any letters.
That's right. She hasn't any letters.
Here's one you can mail for me.
But, Jimmy, that policeman's
That's
there.
That's right. I asked Smiggs to be here as a favor to me.
McDermott, are you starting this whole crazy thing all over again?
Go on, Joan. Mail the letter.
Well, all right, but I wish I knew what this is all about.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
Oh, why, I'm going into the post office to mail this letter.
You mean wearing them shorts?
I do.
Sorry, miss, but in that case, I'll have to...
I know. You'll have to give me a summons.
The next case is the People versus Joan Rollins. Is the defendant in court?
Here, Your Honor.
Seems to me I remember your face, Miss Rollins. Second offender, eh?
If the court please.
McDermott, your counsel, Miss Rollinson?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, what thunder kind of foolishness is this? Are you in on this too, Henneberry?
I'm just doing my duty, Your Honor.
I see. Well, how does the defendant plead?
Not guilty, Your Honor.
All right, Smiggs, what's the complaint?
Your Honor, I arrested the defendant on the post office steps and... In direct violation of Municipal Ordinance Number 269, she was wearing shorts that come to... Well, there's awful darn shorts.
Well, young lady, were you wearing shorts on the post office steps?
Yes, Your Honor, but...
Then you're guilty as charged. And for wasting this court's time, I sentence you to 10 days in jail.
10 days in jail?
No, you're not, Your Honor.
Young man, if you're not careful, you'll be in contempt of court.
Your Honor, I'm sure that Miss Rollins...
Judge Hurley, you have no jurisdiction in this case.
What's that?
You see, Your Honor...
McDermott, if Judge Hurley had jurisdiction in this case 10 months ago, he's...
Got... If I had jurisdiction 10 months ago, then I got it now.
But, Your Honor, you didn't have jurisdiction then, and I can prove it. I move the complaint against the defendant be dismissed.
McDermott, are you contending that if a woman is found guilty of indecent exposure on the streets of this municipality, Judge Hurley has no jurisdiction?
Not if she's arrested on the post office steps.
And why not?
Because the post office steps, Your Honor, are federal property, and the state has no jurisdiction over what happens on federal property.
Well, now... That's a horse of a different color. Hennebury, have you...
Your Honor, I...
If Your Honor, as well as my learned opponent, will check the federal statutes as well as this list of cases...
That's enough! Hennebury, why did you permit this to happen?
Well, Your Honor...
You're elected to protect the rights of citizens, as well as to prosecute wrongdoers.
Yes, Your Honor, but...
Hennebury, your stupidity astounds me. And Mr. McDermott...
Yes, Your Honor?
The complaint is dismissed. And the previous conviction by this court is reversed.
Oh, Jimmy, you were wonderful.
I'll say I was, sweetheart. And we'll carry this case to every court we were in the first time.
Oh, but darling, that's not necessary now.
Oh, but it is. Joan, we've got to get all those judgments reversed. Think of the principle of the thing.
Jimmy, I'm thinking of the cost of the thing. It took a fortune last time.
Well, you've got a fortune, haven't you?
No, darling, I had a fortune.
Hey, that's swell.
You mean it's swell that I don't have any money anymore?
Of course. Now nobody can say that I'm marrying you for your money.
The curtain falls on the last act of Mr. Justice Jimmy. Another Curtain Time play brought to you by the makers of Milky Way Candy Bar. Tonight, Curtain Time starred Harry Elders as Jimmy McDermott and Nanette Sargent as Joan Rawlinson. The supporting players were Martin Wallace, Sidney Elstrom, Jeff Pugh, and George Caesar. The script was by Tom Taggart. The Curtain Time music is arranged and conducted by Bert Farber. And the entire production is directed by Harry Holcomb. Stars of our program with a word about next week's play. Well, Pat, first of all, on behalf of our sponsor, Mars Incorporated, and the entire cast of Curtain Time, I want to wish all of our listeners a happy, happy Easter.
And that goes double for me, too, Harry.
And about next week's play?
Well, next week I'm a war hero, Pat. At least Nanette tries to make me one.
That's right, Pat. But Harry's very shy about the whole thing. That's why the play's called Reluctant Hero.
Well, now, that certainly sounds novel. Thanks and good night, Nana Sargent and Harry Elders.
Good night, Ben.
Good night.
Now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the exciting after theater spot here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen saying Happy Easter and reminding you of your date every Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of Milky Way candy bars present
Good Time!
Each week, Mars Incorporated brings you two great shows over NBC. On Monday night, be sure to hear Dr. IQ, the Mental Banker. And next Saturday, be with us again for Curtain Time. Remember, when you crave good candy, eat a Milky Way. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.